Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Stephen. Hope you're doing well. And
good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to be back here. And wow, we're coming to the end of a series that's been kind of hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's been judgment and condemnation and desolation and defilement and exile and woes and oof, all kinds of bad stuff.
And all the hard messages.
The hard messages. And I think these messages are important for us to hear at this time in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and at this time in history, because we've gotten kind of relaxed and lax and thinking that the kingdom is like our country is, where you can do whatever you want and everything's mm-hmm. just kind of nice and
yeah,
we don't have to worry about anything and everybody should be happy. And so we're doing these shows.
Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want.
Be
it
okay.
Doesn't matter. Everything's right.
God loves everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, we started by going through the prophets, and last week, if you were with us, and I hope you were, so we don't have to redo last week's show.
Oh, whew. That would set us back.
Yeah, that would set us back on another show. Anyway, last week we went through most of Matthew chapter 23, which Jesus confronts the Pharisees and says, woe to them, they're hypocrites. And
more than a couple times.
Oof, blind guides and, you know, and we talked about how holy they looked, but his criticism was that they looked really good and holy on the outside, but weren't really holy and clean on the inside,
mm-hmm.
and that they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were doing small matters of the law very strictly, but weren't doing the weighty matters of the law, like love and mercy. And we went through all the things, and we got down to, I think it was verses 25, 26 is where we ended up, where they were talking about, you know, they were talking about washing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, the laws were that you had to wash the pots and the dishes, you had to wash your hands. And these were, you know, important things, but these were the things they dwelled on.
Yeah.
At the same time, they were plotting to have Jesus killed.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, we talked about how they couldn't walk into the praetorium, so they were talking to Pilate, kind of yelling to him across the pavement because they couldn't go in there.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be defiled.
Yeah.
But yet, and they were plotting to kill somebody.
And Jesus even told them that, you know, it's not what goes into a person that defiles
them. Exactly.
But it's the thoughts that arise from their
exactly.
heart.
Exactly.
And this is what they were suffering from.
Yes.
The thoughts that were arising in their hearts to plot and kill him.
Yes. And in, we left with, I told you to study ahead to Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, where Jesus says, you know, it's out of the hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lawlessness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was talking about there was people were talking about, you know, they all knew the dietary laws that they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know what? It's not what goes into you that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you.
Yeah.
So these Pharisees looked really good on the outside, but inside their heart, they have all this stuff.
Right.
We can get dressed up real nice and we can put on tuxedos and shiny shoes and we can look really nice and go someplace and people say, wow, that guy looks really nice. But inside, we have all this stuff that's in our heart
yeah.
that comes out of us because we have a fallen nature.
Mm-hmm.
We have a sin nature. And we're not any different than the Pharisees, but these guys were, because they were the religious leaders,
yeah.
they were in a different position than we are.
They were in a position of teaching authority.
Yes.
And that's basically...
Yeah.
The one big difference.
Yeah. So Jesus says, clean your inside, and yeah. then your outside will be good. So like, try to get all this stuff out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get all these unclean, horrible things out of you. And then your outside is going to be clean.
Yeah.
You know, clean your heart. That's how you're going to be saved.
Yeah.
You're not going to be saved by cleaning your inside. I mean, your outside. Yeah. You got to get the outside. The outside is going to be good when you clean the inside.
Yeah. You know, when David, it reminds me of, I think it's, is it Psalm 51, where David is lamenting and or repenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Psalm 51.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness, in your abundant compassion, blot out my offense, wash away all my guilt from my sin, cleanse me, for I know my offense, for I know my offense.
Yeah.
My sin is always before me. Against you alone have I sinned. I have done such evil in your sight that you are just in your sentence, blameless when you condemn. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a contrite heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
David poured out his heart to God and said, you know everything about me, God. You see it.
Yeah.
And I can't hide it from you.
And you know all the stuff I've done, and this is why I'm in this horrible position I'm in.
Yeah. And he's truly, I was born guilty of sinner, even as my mother conceived me.
Mm-hmm.
Still, you insist on sincerity of heart. In my inmost being, teach me wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what the Pharisees didn't do.
Yeah.
They weren't repentant like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we pointed out last week that the apostles and the Christian teachers that would come after them were humble people, that were simple people. They weren't royalty. They weren't high class religious leaders, but they're the ones that advanced the kingdom.
Right.
And then we get to this business about whitewashed tombs. Ooh, maybe you should read that again, Stephen.
Sure.
Why don't you read 27 through 32?
Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophet's blood. Thus, you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you flee from the judgment of Gehenna? Yeah.
They hated being called broods of vipers.
Yeah.
They looked like whitewashed tombs. This is a great thing. You know, if you, the tombs, of course, were made out of stone, and they whitewashed them so they were really bright white. And the reason they did that is so everybody knew where there was a tomb.
Yeah.
Because the law says you're defiled if you come in contact with a dead person.
Yeah.
So you have to know where the tomb is. And in the book of Numbers, it says you're unclean for 7 days if you come in contact with a dead person. So what he's saying is, these guys look really nice again on the outside. They got whitewashed looking stuff on, but inside they're just dead men's bones.
Yeah.
They're unclean. A dead person is unclean according to the law.
Yeah. And that's why he's referring to them
as
full of dead men's bones.
And then they try to be, you know, they pretend like they're sympathetic to the prophets that were martyred. You know, almost every single prophet was martyred.
Mm-hmm.
They were almost all killed.
Yeah.
And they were all scorned by these people.
Yeah.
You know, every messenger that was sent was criticized, scorned, most of the time killed, imprisoned. I mean, it was horrible stuff. I mean, and it was done by the leaders.
Yeah.
The common people didn't do it.
And Jesus even tells them a parable about that.
That's right.
That, you know, the farmer, the tenant farmer sent, or no, not the tenant farmer, but that there were messengers that were sent.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the son was sent, they said, the heir, let us kill him, and we'll take the land for ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this was kind of the blackest part of their character, that they killed God's messengers.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to hear what they had to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our society today, we don't want to hear what God has to say.
Right.
We're the messengers today.
Right.
We're not going to have books in the canon that we write. There's going to be no Book of Stephen, but that's got a good ring to it.
It could be.
But those of us that are standing on the word and proclaiming the truth today, are in the same position as these prophets.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get people's attention of what's going on. You know, the whole society is like a runaway freight train going in a speed and going faster and faster and faster, because it says in the Revelation that when the devil knows his time is short, he gets very aggressive.
Yes.
And as you can see, all you got to do is watch the news. You can see how aggressive he's being.
Yeah.
Especially in, you know, we're in a political campaign, and you see it coming out all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that used to be normal Christian ways of living from the Judeo-Christian tradition of marriage and caring for your children and, you know, your moral conduct, that's all gone out the window.
Yeah.
None of that means anything anymore.
Trying to be rewritten.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have people on television that, you know, identify themselves with particular churches that say, well, you know, after all, the Bible is evolving, just like we're evolving.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible's evolving. We can't expect to behave like people did 2,000 years ago, because we're way past all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the ones that have to say, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's his word. Here's what he wants us to do. We're the ones. And if they say, listen, we don't want to hear that, get out of here. We talked a couple weeks ago. God tells Ezekiel, don't worry about what they say. Don't let their words dismay you. Don't worry about how they look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to say what I'm telling you, you got to say.
Yeah. And Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, to go and start preaching the kingdom, he told them, you know, enter a house, say peace to, you know, if you enter that house, say peace to you.
Yeah.
And if that house receives you, stay there. If it doesn't, then shake the dust off your sandals and go on to the next house.
That's right. Exactly. And these men were all sent. You know, the prophets were sent, and they're anointed by God and sent. You know, Jesus called the apostles, anointed them, and sent them.
Right.
You know, we gave the Great Commission. They kind of got their credentials, and he said, okay, now go out and start doing this stuff.
Right.
And he doesn't want his anointed people rejected and killed and brutalized,
right.
But they all were.
Mm-hmm.
So now he comes on these Pharisees, because they were decorating the tombs and saying, oh, you know, here's Zechariah's tomb. Let's, you know, clean this up a little bit and plant some flowers and, you know, because after all, I can't believe they killed them.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, yeah, you would have. guilt's on you too. And, you know, when those prophets were there, it was the religious leaders, as we learned with Moses and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that confronted them. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. We don't want to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have the Messiah teaching. Where do you get your authority? You have Satan in you.
Yeah.
Shut up. You don't even keep the Sabbath. Your disciples don't keep the Sabbath. Don't listen to him. He's crazy. Tell your people to shut up.
They don't wash their hands before
they don't wash their hands. Yeah. And they were doing exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew, of course, they were plotting to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Peter and the other guys that are listening to this probably didn't necessarily know that, but he knew they were plotting to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And Judas was probably there going, uh-oh. But, you know, they were doing the same thing, but they were saying, well, you know, had we been there, we wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's an easy trap to fall into.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't do that.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't do that. But
yeah, and we see that, you know, we saw that with Amos, we saw it with Jeremiah, he talks about it with Zechariah,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time they're plotting to murder the Messiah, they're saying, oh, had we been there, we wouldn't have killed those prophets. And now, of course, the prophets that are in the grave can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't come out and say, yes, you would. So Jesus says it for them. Yes, you mm-hmm. would. You say you wouldn't do it, you would do it.
Yeah.
Because you're children of those people. And we're all the same. You know, they were trying to condemn their ancestors for doing something
mm-hmm.
and saying, well, we wouldn't do that.
Right.
But we know that he knew that they would, and we know that they would.
Yeah.
So even though they made the graves beautiful.
Yeah.
They would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's, as you're talking, I'm remembering a couple things that I've heard over the years as God's called me into ministry, and that is sometimes I hear people, you know, they talk, they talk bad about another pastor or another mm-hmm. church or another denomination.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be very careful about mm-hmm. that, because you can fall into a trap real quickly
yeah.
of condemnation,
sure.
and you're going to bring condemnation upon yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, it's our purpose is to preach the gospel, to mm-hmm. proclaim the word, and not add our own take on it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we don't add to it. We don't subtract from it. We yeah. proclaim it as it's given, and we're there to speak the word and to speak it in truth and in love,
mm-hmm.
and just do what, as Jesus said, I only speak what I hear the Father speak. Mm-hmm. I only do what I see the Father doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he tells his disciples, no disciple is greater than his master.
Mm-hmm.
But he does tell them that you're going to do these things and greater things, because he's going to go, you know, he's going to go to the Father, and they're going to receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, all the things we've been talking about for the last, what, four weeks at least,
so.
4 or 5 weeks. it's a tough message. It's mm-hmm. a hard message, but it's a message that I think every one of us has to reflect upon in our own heart, because, you know, like from Psalm 51, David was very repentant.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 139.
Yeah.
God, you know everything about me. Mm-hmm. You know a word on my, you know yeah. a word even when it's going to be formed on my tongue.
Right.
You know what I'm going to do
uh-huh.
before I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the great mystery of God's mercy and love, because he knows he could bestow a gift on me, and he knows 5 minutes from now I'm going to go and sin.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and does it diminish what God gave me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my actions diminish who I am in the Lord,
sure.
but I'm still an adopted son or daughter in the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I have to take very seriously, because if I don't, I can carelessly, just nonchalantly take that gift for granted
yes.
and lose it.
Sure. Exactly.
You know, and Jesus is trying to tell the religious leaders, look within your own hearts. You know, you're no different than your ancestors.
Exactly.
You're no different than your ancestors.
Yeah, that sin runs through their blood.
Yeah. It's, you know, you're in the same boat.
Yeah, and it's interesting to bring up Psalm 139, because he, being God, knows exactly what they're thinking, knows exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows the words, he knows their thoughts. So when he says, you know, you say you wouldn't do these things, let me tell you would.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that they would, you know, you would. They may have been even a little bit surprised. And then, you know, before we criticize them too much, like, what would we do?
Mm.
You know, are we going to hear somebody who says, listen, the word of the Lord says this, and his law and commandment says this, and we're doing wrong, these people are doing wrong, and we say, hey, listen, we don't want to hear that. Come on, give me a break. Everybody's got a hard life. You know, I worked all week. I got to take my kids to softball. Yeah. I got this thing I got to see on TV tonight, so I don't want to hear that. You know, we do the same thing. And on the other hand, we're the ones now that are in the same position as those prophets.
Yeah.
But after he tells them about this, after he makes these charges, and these are people everybody thinks is holy, remember, he tells them what they deserve, and that's hell.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to save you from hell?
Yeah.
You hypocrites. He calls them vipers, a brood of vipers, which are poisonous snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they kept their poison to themselves, it doesn't hurt anybody, but their poison spreads through the people that they preach to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he calls them a brood of vipers. Oof. That's bad.
That is really bad.
Ooh.
Oh.
This is awesome. We'll be back in just a minute. Remember, you can go to giftofgraceministries.org, and you can hear radio shows, you can see some teachings, hear some teachings, and we'll be back in just a minute.
I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship. for your name is holy, holy, Lord. For your name is holy.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I think, Stephen, why don't you read the rest of that chapter, and then we're going to get to this heavy stuff that Jesus summarizes here at the end.
Okay. This is Matthew 23, starting at verse 34. Therefore, behold, I send you the prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and pursue from town to town, so that there may come upon you all the righteous blood shed upon earth, from the righteous blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Amen, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her young under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house will be desolate, abandoned. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba, B'Shem Adonai, which is blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Wow.
Wow. Going back again to Deuteronomy 29, when a final terrible violation comes, there's desolation, defilement, and exile.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, you see at the beginning of that, Jesus says, I send prophets. You know, he's equating himself with God,
mm-hmm.
which probably made them mad too.
Oh, yeah. He
says, I send prophets. And he knows how they're going to be treated. Mm-hmm. You're going to arrest them. You're going to crucify them. You're going to kill them. You're going to whip them. You know, whatever. He goes through all these terrible things. So even though he's condemned them with all these woes and called them broods of vipers and said they deserve hell, he says, I'm going to send people, though. You know, God always sends people.
Yeah.
You know, he never totally, well, I mean, there'll come a time where his patience will be exhausted and nobody else is going to come other than Jesus coming back. But, you know, he sends prophets. He sends, gives people another chance to accept.
Mm-hmm.
Gives people another chance at redemption.
Yeah.
But their sins are going to be put on them. Their father's sins are going to be put on them because of this righteous blood that's going to be shed. Because he knows what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in Psalm 72, verse 14, it says, righteous blood is precious to God.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who kills his anointed people, it's precious blood. And he says, it's going to come on this generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come 2,000 years from now, 8,000 years from now. It's going to come on this generation. In other words, it's going to come quickly. It's going to be on them.
Yes.
And most of the people who are listening to him are going to see it.
Yeah.
Why don't you read that part that starts at Jerusalem, Jerusalem again? Because this is so powerful. You have to like get this in your head.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her young under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned, desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Whew. So now, these Pharisees he's talking to are still standing in front of him. You know, he's talking to them. You know, he's not at the Sea of Galilee now, you know, talking to people going by, or he's not at, you know, in Capernaum teaching in the synagogue, and he's not at the, you know, doing the Beatitudes someplace. He's talking, all this stuff he's done, all these things we've done last week and so far now, he's talking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders. So they're standing there. So now he says to them, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now, in Hebrew, when you say something twice, you're emphasizing it. That's why he says, amen, amen. Or, you know, when he repeats something, he's emphasizing it. It says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's repeated for emphasis. Now,
right.
A couple of days before, he's wept over the city.
Yes.
When he's, you know, it's Palm Sunday. He's coming down the Mount of Olives. He gets to a certain point where there's a little church there today that looks like a teardrop.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, the Latin word is Dominus Flavit, which means the Lord wept.
Yeah.
Wept. And in Luke 19, verse 41, it says, mm-hmm. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it.
Yeah.
Saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation.
Wow.
So he's weeping over the city.
Yeah.
Why is he weeping over the city? Because everybody there was bad? Well, because they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, but they weren't going to recognize him. They weren't going to recognize the time of their visitation. Yeah. And so therefore, keeping with the last part of Deuteronomy 29, there was going to be desolation. There was going to be an enemy that was going to come,
mm-hmm.
build ramparts around the city, lay siege to the city. We're going to destroy the city. They're going to hem you in on every side. You're not going to be able to escape. You're going to be killed. Your children are going to be killed. Everything's going to be razed to the ground. And there's not going to be a stone left on another stone.
Yeah.
He had said that before. Remember what he said? There's going to be not going to be a stone left on another stone here.
And he even says that to his disciples after they leave the temple area.
That's right.
You know.
Yes. But when he weeps over the city, he says the reason he's crying, the reason, and he's literally weeping, is they didn't recognize the time of their visitation. They didn't recognize that here was their salvation. Here was the end point of all of the salvation history, the end point of all the scripture that they knew, and they were going to miss it.
The law and all the prophets.
Yes. The law and the prophets all pointed to him. They weren't going to get it. And now he says it's going to be hidden from you.
Mm-hmm.
And even to our day, the most of the Jewish people, it's hidden from them.
It's hidden from them, yeah.
He says, it's going to be hidden from your eyes because you didn't recognize this.
Mm-hmm.
This is horrible. And, you know, he cries over the city. And in Lamentations 1:8, it says, because the city has so grievously sinned, that's why these things happen. I want to send you grace, but you didn't accept it.
Yeah.
Even while you were rebelling, I kept sending you grace.
Mm-hmm.
But the grace has to be accepted, you know, even for us.
Yeah.
You know, grace doesn't just fall from the sky and we say, oh, good, I'm all covered with grace now. Yeah. You have to accept the grace.
We have to cooperate with God.
That's right. Yeah. We have to cooperate. And he says the city's going to be left desolate. I mean, desolate. This is a beautiful city, bustling city, beautiful temple. All the gold and all the decorations, beautiful buildings.
Yeah.
I mean.
And for 1900 years, basically it was left desolate.
Yes. Trodden down by Gentiles. He says in another place, it could be trodden down by Gentiles for all those centuries. I mean, when he's talking to people and he says to them, you know what? Jerusalem's going to be trodden down by Gentiles. Like, what do you, I mean, they couldn't think of anything more disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, it was trodden down by Gentiles for 1900 years.
Yeah.
And the Temple Mount is still trodden down by Gentiles, the holiest place.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, then that's going to change. So that's going to be sometime, probably soon. But anyway, everything's going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. And the Greek word that's used there about being desolate literally means a wilderness. So you're going to go from having this beautiful holy place that's going to be a wilderness.
A howling wasteland.
Yeah. And it was.
Yeah.
For a long time. You know, people went there and said, geez, this place is a hole. There's nothing growing here. It's all sand. There's no trees. There's no water. It was desolate. And they were going to, he knew they were going to willfully reject them. Not all of them, but the leadership was going to reject him. And they were going to keep others from accepting him. And this whole thing about woes and hypocrites and condemnation and you deserve hell went because of that. You're going to, not only are you not going to come, you're going to keep people from coming. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get into the kingdom and you're going to keep others from getting in.
Yeah. And as you're talking, you know, we've talked about the role of a teacher, the role of a prophet, how that role of a teacher who instructs others is going to be held to a higher degree or higher standard, because what we say, if we are in the position of teaching someone and we say something that prevents them from coming to God and reconciling with God or being in the kingdom, we will answer for that person.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that person will answer for themselves, but we will answer for not only ourselves, but those who we ministered to.
Mm-hmm.
So ministry is a very, you know, there's a great responsibility.
Yes.
In ministering the kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the danger of the false teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
It can look real good on the outside.
Tell you everything you want to hear.
Yep. Just like, you know, it said, the Bible says Satan can come looking like an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
A false teacher is not going to come and say, hey, everybody, I'm a false teacher, and this is what I want to tell you.
Right.
It's going to come looking really good.
Yeah.
And people are going to be led astray. And the people that are led astray are going to be responsible for that. But the person who did it is going to be more responsible.
More responsible, exactly.
And yeah. It's not for us. You know, we're not the ones that are going to sit in judgment and say, okay, you did this 25% of this, and you did 80% of this, and right. you did 40% of this, or whatever. But you know, it's a very worrisome thing. And mm-hmm. like you say, the people that are teachers are responsible to a high degree.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the guys he's talking to.
Right.
And then an interesting thing happens is he then leaves the temple and he doesn't go back to the temple.
Right.
This is it now. In 2-3 days, he's going to be crucified. We don't know exactly what day this is, but 2-3 days, he's going to be crucified. He then leaves the temple. Just like when the second temple was destroyed, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the Shekinah glory left the temple
mm-hmm.
and went to the Mount of Olives. It was never seen again.
Mm.
Here you have Jesus, who of course is the Shekinah glory,
yeah.
leaves the temple, departs from the temple, and he doesn't go back.
Mm-hmm.
The glory's departed. And it's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And they were not going to be allowed to see him again. Now, the Pharisees didn't see him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
After the crucifixion, they didn't see him anymore.
Right.
He didn't appear to them after the resurrection. There weren't Pharisees standing around at the ascension. There weren't Pharisees in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, who's him. You've rejected that, therefore, you're not going to see me anymore.
That's a very good point, because sometimes I'll hear people say, well, gosh, why didn't God have Jesus appear to everyone?
Right.
Well, he said that, yeah, you bring up a very good point there, that he said they would not see him again until they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
And he's talking to the Pharisees when he says this.
Yes.
They have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
The smelly fishermen in Galilee aren't under as much conviction and condemnation as these leaders are in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to say it.
Yeah.
And they saw him, you know, 2-3 more days. They saw him Good Friday. They saw him carrying the cross. A lot of them probably did.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them probably saw him on the cross. A lot of people probably saw him dead.
Yeah.
And went back to their house and said, okay, well, we got that over with. Mm-hmm. So now let's, you know, take a shower, wash up, and do more Passover stuff.
Yeah.
You know, get the Seder ready. And after they had just killed the Passover lamb, then they went home to do the Seder.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't understand this, because he said, you're not going to understand it. It's going to be hidden from you.
Mm-hmm.
And still is, for the most part. So his true identity, his true messiahship wasn't revealed to them from the cross. Now, other people saw him on the cross and said, whoa, the good thief, the centurion.
Mm-hmm, right.
There were probably a lot of people that were moved by what was happening.
Right.
They weren't. Because he specifically said to them, you're not going to see me again until you say this.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to recognize me until you say this.
Right. And interestingly, in our time, point of interest number one, in 1948, the people start going back to the land.
Yeah.
And they fight wars. They win all the wars. More and more people go. More and more messianic congregations starting up in the land. People getting interested in building a temple.
Yeah.
All these things are going on. And then about 7-8 years ago, the Sanhedrin is restarted.
Yeah.
The Sanhedrin was this group of Pharisees, 70 of them, that ran everything.
Yeah. Our friend Paul has a teaching about that called They're Back.
Yeah, they're back.
They're back.
Yeah, go to WilburMinistries.com. You can buy it.
If you go to WilburMinistries.com, there's a teaching called They're Back, and it talks about the revised or the Sanhedrin that is now in place.
Yes. Reconstituted.
And, reconstituted. Yeah.
So maybe they're going to be the ones, since all these things are hurrying along, to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and he's going to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Ooh. Now, speaking of awesome, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is Isaiah chapter 6. Awesome. Very awesome. Anyway, giftofgraceministries.org, and look for us on Facebook. We're going to wrap up this whole series when we get back from the break.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, we're in about the last 7 or 8 minutes of this 4 or 5 part series, and
it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, this last segment just kind of blew me away. But, this is also described in Luke 13:35, but it's basically the same passage. And, you know, we have to, what I was thinking when we were in the break was, we have to see the signs of the times that we live in. Mm-hmm. You know, the Pharisees missed the sign of the times that they lived in, and they missed all these centuries of messianic prophecy, of salvation history being played out. To the salvation was right in front of him, and they knew who this man was. They knew his name was Yeshua, which means salvation in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have been another clue.
Yeah.
Hello, guys, my name is salvation, and I'm telling you all these things.
Yeah.
But they missed all that, so the rest was going to be hidden from him. You know, he's I think it's in Luke chapter 12. I'm not sure exactly what verses, but I call it the weatherman gospel. You know, Jesus says to these guys, You know, when you see clouds to the west, you say it's going to rain, and it does. Mm-hmm. When you see the wind, when you feel the wind blowing from the south, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. It's like, why can you recognize the signs of the sky and the earth, but you don't recognize the signs of the time?
Yeah.
We're living in a time we have to recognize the signs of the time.
Yeah.
We're the prophets, you know, we're prophets with a little p, that are here to stand on the rock, to proclaim the word, to remind people of the commandments of the Judeo-Christian morality, of how he wants us to live. We're here to proclaim the kingdom, preach the gospel of salvation, to say that you have to turn to Jesus as your only savior. There is no other savior.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many people call us narrow-minded, no matter how many people call us bigoted, this is the only way to salvation, and it's our job to say that in a world that's getting darker and darker by the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the call to proclaim the gospel has not changed.
Right.
It's still the same as it was for the apostles. It's still the same for those who preached it after they had heard the word and were converted, and down on through from generation to generation to our time.
Yeah.
The call to proclaim the gospel is still the same. The call to being a disciple of the Messiah is still the same.
Yes.
Take up your cross, renounce yourself, your own desires, your own flesh, and come follow me.
Yeah.
And you go, and you too go proclaim the gospel.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. And God is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be forever.
Right.
He has not changed.
Not evolving.
He's not evolving. He was, is, and always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a great responsibility for even you and I proclaiming the God's word through these airwaves, that we proclaim his word in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we as we've been sharing about this, how the prophets were all killed, how they were just rejected, even though they were giving God's word. Even in our time too, and you keep saying, we are the prophets today. We are the voice of God today. We have to proclaim the gospel in season and out of season.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It could be very discouraging at times.
Yes.
And, you know, I know you've talked to pastors, I talk to pastors or other people that, are in ministry, and we all, you know, we hear the same thing. Yeah, I was preaching this group, and, well, I don't know if they really received the message or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't really worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to proclaim the gospel and proclaim it in love. We can pray and intercede and ask for God to prepare their hearts to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of ministry, is interceding for,
yes,
Lord, go before me and prepare the way that you've made for me.
Yes.
Because if I go out there by myself and try and do it ahead of God, it's not in God's time.
Yes.
And I can try and get people to open their eyes as much as I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not following God and walking with God, then I'm not, you know, I'm trying to do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all by God's grace that I came back to the Lord.
Yeah.
It's all by God's grace that a blind eye is opened.
Sure.
That a cold, hardened heart is, you know, transformed into the good and fertile soil to receive God's word.
Yeah.
So it's all by God's grace. It's all by his grace.
And we saw that Peter and John talked to the Pharisees, but they couldn't evangelize them, couldn't witness to him, couldn't convert them, because the truth was hidden from them.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to see him again until they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the whole point of this long series, and I know these are very hard things to listen to, and people in our day don't understand that there's consequences and condemnation, but we've learned that God's patience wears out.
Mm-hmm.
His patience against even his holy city and holy temple wore out. He destroyed his own temple twice, as you said, not once, but twice.
Twice.
And we are under judgment. There'll be a time when judgment's going to be unleashed, and our land's going to be desolate, and our land's going to be defiled, and we're going to have these horrible things. And we are the ones that have to stand for that here in this time.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we're here.
Yeah.
And this is why we're not here in some other time in some other place. We're here now in this place.
Yeah.
And the radio waves are important. The internet is important. But talking to people one-on-one, talking to groups of people, and all of you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors in the pulpits have to make people understand what's going on, because the world is being deceived.
Yes.
Because Satan knows his time is short. Yeah. Short may not mean tomorrow, but it could be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Short may be 10 years or 20 years or 50 years, but the time is short.
Right.
And we're the ones here to do what Amos and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and then finally what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when you were talking about how the Pharisees would not see Jesus again, and mm-hmm. they didn't,
mm-hmm.
even after the resurrection, when he mm-hmm. appeared to the disciples. And I think about church history and the separation between Jews and Christians. I mean, their eyes are not going to be open until it's God's time.
Yes, amen.
We still have to love them.
Right.
And share the good news of the gospel.
Yeah, still share the good news.
Because there are elder brothers.
That's the end of this series, I promise.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you will have a great week, and we'll hear you or see you back here at the Gift of Grace next week. God bless everyone. Have an awesome week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.